Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
High noon, Jones and Keefe on WEEI. It's a two for Tuesday. We'll be giving away another pair of tickets to Red Sox and Rangers at 12:30. The third of four pairs of tickets will be given away here today. It'll continue through WEEI afternoons. We got a Keefe for Madness for you at 12:45, so stay tuned for that. It's also, of course, a Tom E. Tuesday. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joining us here on Jones and Keefe. What's going on, Tom? Not much going on with this team.
No, good afternoon. That's a very Dale Arnold greeting.
Yes. Is that what Dale would normally do?
What's going on with the team? Is there?
Damn it.
Yeah.
Well, here's what you wrote the latest on, Tom, despite that very kind greeting. Talent and fit. Patriots take important step forward with a productive draft. You like the draft. What did you like best about what the Patriots did?
Uh-oh.
Oh, did we lose him?
He didn't like the start.
Oh, my God.
What happened? Did you mute yourself?
Is Dale calling you? What's going on?
I'm going into glitch town again.
Oh boy.
I'm going to go out, have Billy call me back in 30 seconds. I'm in a room that I think has lead.
Okay.
You got to get that checked.
He has an expansive home.
You got a lead room? Yeah, go in there. That's not good. You get that. Look at
we need to reset anyway.
Go to the asbestos room. That's where you get the real good signal.
I don't appreciate how I threw to Tom. Appreciate how he responded how I threw to Tom. Let's reset
the whole thing. Can we start the whole thing over, Nick?
Yeah, let's just pretend like none of that happened.
What a rough start.
Yeah, if you could. Let's just reset.
Welcome back to the show.
High noon, Jones and Keefe on WEEI. It's a two for Tuesday. You got Red Sox tickets coming your way.
Sox tickets today.
At 12:30. You're going to want those. It's also Keefe for Madness.
Oh, good
at
Madness today.
Oh, it is?
They're all good, but this one in particular, I would stick around for.
You're going to particularly.
Not you, but the listener.
Put your stamp on that one.
Yep, I like this one.
Good to know. And it's also a Tommy Tuesday. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Tom, your latest up now.
Yes.
NBC Sports Boston, you like the draft.
That's better.
What did you like about it specifically?
That they addressed those core positions we entered the draft realizing they needed to because they missed out in free agency. And the fact that the people that they drafted, seemingly, when you forecast and look at the big boards, the consensus, they were drafting people on time or after they should have been drafted. Take Braden Swinson, for instance. Take Josh Farmer. Those are guys who were well up the draft boards, and the Patriots got them at places of value. So that's really all you can base it on when it comes to these draft grades. They get dismissed out of hand. Oh, how do you know? You don't know. But you can only measure it as, did they fill a need? Did they take a guy who the consensus says is pretty good? Look at 2022. Cole Strange was the 86th ranked player by Pro Football Focus. Tyquan Thornton was 192. That was their first and second round picks. Everyone could tell they reached.
Agreed. In the second round, they got Travion Henderson, the running back out of Ohio State, which I love that pick. And then you find out after the draft, there's been some reporting that they really wanted the guard that ended up going to the Miami Dolphins. So what do you make of them wanting to go lineman back to back, but then also pivoting to running back there?
It speaks to me about the fact that they understand that the protection is not going to be good enough until you have young, promising players who you can get under your guidance. I mean, the offensive line coaching has pivoted how many times since 2019? I think they might be going on five or six. So you want to get young, fresh people. Look, Cole Strange should not be totally useless. He should still have some relevance. He's played games. He hasn't been horrible in them. He's had some bad ones too. But you should be able to put Layden Robinson, Cole Strange, and the kid they just drafted, the center, Jared Wilson, in a room and have them fight it out. You know, I think that's their intention. But to me, I think it was interesting that it was between guard and running back, but it's also based upon where you have guys rated. If you don't have Jalen Knoll or Kyle Williams rated that highly and you have Henderson and the guard rated at 35 or 34 or 33, you got to go with what you got.
Now, you were big on Tyler Warren at pick four if you were personally in charge of the pick. They go with Will Campbell, who I think, based on personnel, has to be, you know, day one left tackle opening at training camp. So I think short term, he's a left tackle. Do you think long-term he's a left tackle? Do you think they think long-term he's a left tackle?
Yes. I think he's a left tackle, and I think they think he's a left tackle, and I think he'll be a left tackle for a long time. And I think that we have just had far too much time on our hands and hours to kill so that we've gotten a little too verklempt and hand-wringing about the notion that his arms are too short. Rashawn Slater's arms are the same size. He plays pretty well. The kid's ability to move will counteract the fact that when his arms are fully stretched out, they're not ideal length. And if you're blocking with your arms fully stretched out anyway, you're probably effing up. So I have absolutely, I think that we have totally overblown this, and in 3 years, people are going to be giggling about it.
Well, and that's fair, but you would have taken other player. You would have taken Tyler Warren over him, for instance. So is that an anti-Campbell thing or a pro-Warren thing?
Come on, let's be honest, Adam. You're doing the same thing I'm doing. It's all for poops and giggles. In the end, if you put a gun on my temple and said, pick somebody and make sure it works and the team wins games, I'd have said Will Campbell. Tyler Warren was fun to talk about.
And I would have done Ashton Gentry gun to temple,
well,
but okay.
Then that would have been bad news for you.
Well, maybe. Maybe Tom Brady doesn't know what he's doing in Oakland then, or in Vegas, I guess. But I don't know. I think that would have been a good pick, personally.
Well, who was on the board? Were Will Campbell on the board? Was he on the board? Was Abdul Carter? I mean, these drive-bys, these late-phrase drive-bys, I guess Tom Brady doesn't know what he's doing. They're not saying the same people aren't on the board at that point.
No, but it was I'm just saying, a guy going at 6 is acceptable, but not at 4? Like, I don't know. I mean, that would have been my pick. But so was Tyler Warren, you liked Warren?
For the Patriots or for the Raiders?
I think it would have been the right pick for the Patriots. I think it's a great pick for the Raiders. But I'm asking you, you liked Warren, again, so it was for poops and giggles, or you it was something you liked about Warren or disliked about Campbell?
I liked about Warren. If we're going to talk about best player available, which we talked about oodles of times here, if we're going to talk about best player available and being completely oblivious to the need, Tyler Warren certainly had a case as the best player available, as did Ashton Gentry. But you can't, with a straight face, having watched the Patriots for the last 4 or 5 years, look at their offensive line situation and say, well, you guys really screwed up taking a left tackle. I mean, the sensible pick was Will Campbell. But the best player available in terms of football ability and talent was probably Gentry or Warren. So you can have either one of those. That's why when teams say we're going to take the best player available, they don't really add the caveat as long as we need it.
After the draft and free agency, lump them all together, which position group do you think is better right now, the offensive line or wide receiver?
You know, there were three horrendous spots, Rich, last year. Pass rush was embarrassing. Offensive line was embarrassing. Wide receiver was embarrassing. I would say offensive line has improved the most, second pass rush, third wide receiver.
Yeah.
Offensive line, you have a left tackle. You have competitors at left guard. You have a center. You have a backup center, ostensibly. You have a right guard who should be able to play. It was interesting. Bill O'Brien did drop in when we had him on last week on our draft coverage. DeMichael Wynn, who plays well when he's engaged. So he's one of the best in the league when he's engaged. And then you have a right tackle in Moses with hopefully Caden Wallace coming up behind him. So that's improved the most. And then with Landry, who was the other dude? The LSU, Braden. Is it Swinton?
Swinson.
Gee, I've done that 38 times.
Winchester Tunfield, Bill. Yeah.
That kid.
Yep, you got him.
And Milton Williams, you've improved your pass rush. So to me, those are the two spots. And Kyle Williams, I know a lot of people really love him. I think I have PTSD from wide receivers here who have come in with great billing and then not been able to get it right. So I'm holding my breath.
What are the chances Jalen Polk does not make the roster in the fall?
I would say it's all up to him. I wonder if he will get every best chance. That's an interesting thing to consider. I would say it's probably a coin flip, but I don't know what chance they're going to give him. Is he going to be, because Diggs isn't going to practice in the offseason probably very much at all. So you're going to have Bourne, Douglas, Booty's still here, and obviously Kyle Williams. I'm missing somebody here. Oh, Mac Hollins.
Yeah.
So who will Polk be running with? At what point will he be getting on the field? So if he's running earlier in mini camps and training camp, then I'd put his odds better. But he's going to have to work his way, I think, up the depth chart because he hasn't done enough to say, yeah, I should be the third wide receiver on this team. Never mind the second.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joining us here on a Tommy Tuesday on Jones and Keefe. The Patriots are better off between free agency, the draft, even the head coach move that they've made. I don't think there's much debate they're better. The question is to what end? How much better do you think the Patriots are?
I'd say it's significant on every front. I mean, the offensive line, again, worst in the league. Wide receiver room, worst in the league. Pass rush, worst in the league. All of them are better. They have improved on the back end by adding another top-tier corner who isn't, you know, a small fella in Carlton Davis. They've improved drastically in the coaching staff because you have guys who basically have run practices, run teams, taking care of all those things. One of the hard things for Mayo was he understood what he wanted to do at practices and he understood what he wanted, how he wanted to construct things, but there was the notion that it was going to be collaborative. So he would ask people advice, which insinuated that he didn't know what he wanted to do. So there were a lot of cooks and there was a lot of input and there was a lot of tire spinning, I think, as a result of that. In this, you can definitely tell who's in charge, so they're going to hit the ground running a lot more than they did last year, and that's an understatement.
Drake May is going to speak to the media on Thursday. It's been a while since we've heard Drake May. You know, he didn't speak after the game or he didn't speak after the season even, so a lot has changed with Drake May. What are you looking to hear from him tomorrow or on Thursday?
Really what his views are on what Josh McDaniels, and they're not allowed to at least, get into much of the X's and O's yet. But what did he learn as a rookie? What's his confidence level? What are the aspects of the game that he feels like he has command of going into his second year? But what's interesting is a lot of guys go into their second year, and I base this on Brady, but there's a lot of other guys you can look at. If you look at their second year in the NFL, Bledsoe would be another example of it. They backslid a little bit because they started to try and figure out what can't I do? And they would put balls into difficult situations and make mistakes as a result. It'll be interesting to see how Drake May operates this year because he was on such a bad team last year that he was excused for trying to make hero plays sometimes. And when he tried to make hero plays at the end of the games and, well, what do you want? He threw a pick late in the game. That's too bad. But, well, at least they were in it. This year, I don't know if the same mentality will exist. It should be a much more competitive team, and he needs to elevate his game. He doesn't have the luxury of saying, I wonder if this will work the way a lot of second-year quarterbacks do. He has to rein in his mistakes by at least 50%, I think. Do you agree with that? I mean,
definitely.
A lot of excuse because of, it's a crap situation. What do you want from the kid?
Right.
But
yeah.
The team's going to get better in a hurry.
Well, and the expectations for the team were so low that anytime he made a great play, it was magnified. If he made a bad play, we kind of skip past it. Is it fair to ask him at all, Tom, about Joe Milton and like if he had any say or any kind of desire to, you know, to get rid of Milton?
Sure, I think it'd be fair to ask him in the vein that I would ask it is because I think that's a dubious claim that just was fed the notion of it. Mm-hmm. I think the Patriots have been a little bit overzealous in trying to make the nest as comfortable as possible for Drake May. So I don't think that Drake May was like, well, we got to get this kid out of here. He thinks he's good. I just don't think that he's that kind of a competitor or athlete just from his upbringing. It just doesn't seem that way. So I would probably ask it more in the vein of what was your relationship like with Joe Milton and what are your feelings on him being moved? And then you know, you could throw in, did he think he was better than you? If you want to.
Well, no, there's some good reading between the lines, if nothing else there. Is it typical in your experience that we haven't heard from in this setting? Like he's done interviews and stuff, one-on-ones. But he hasn't faced the full media corps. Is it typical you don't hear from the quarterback for this long of a time?
I don't think it's that unusual, and I didn't think the postseason stuff was that eye-opening to me either. I know that it caught fire that day, but when someone said, yeah, May didn't talk, I'm like, yeah, whatever. I don't need to hear from a 22-year-old who just finished his first year in the league anyway. He doesn't know up from down. whatever. But again, that's being perhaps a little cynical on my part, or a lot cynical. What the quarterback has to say is always relevant, regardless of his age. But I don't think so. You got no availability to the kid. He did speak to a number of people in the offseason, spoke to Phil at the Super Bowl. So I don't think it's that unusual, because we just haven't had access. There's been no workouts or group access. So I wonder, in hindsight, though, Jonesy, if he had it to do over again, considering the amount of pearl clutching over it, if he'd say, oh, I'll give him 5 minutes before we leave on January 5th or whatever it was.
Yeah, I would think. Just because he's probably going to be a team captain this year. And I thought less so the Week 18 game and more so like the day after, when guys like David Andrews and Christian Gonzalez were there, who didn't even play and had been out for a while. That's the only time that I thought he should have been there. But I know in the past, Tom, when we've asked you about Bill Belichick posing for photos with his young lover on Instagram doing airplanes and things, you didn't really want to get into it. But I am curious, the overall CBS Morning 8-minute interview, which very much involved his girlfriend, but also involved his time here, involved Robert Kraft. There was a lot in there. So what was your big takeaway from the CBS Morning sit-down with Belichick?
My biggest takeaway, Rich, is, and I just don't feel like getting into the relationship and the oddness of the age gap and stuff. The other stuff, the pertinence to football and how it's going to work out, I get it. There's interest, and ought to be. But what I would say with this interview, from the time he's walking out in that absurd sweatshirt, which just didn't hit. There was no great thrust to the appearance of it. So he looked like, you know, it was bad advice, and it's just been a litany of bad advice. He needs Berge Najarian in the worst possible way. He needs somebody to tell him no. He needs somebody who has been around media and understands the landscape and understands journalism and understands appearances and is savvy. Bill, you know, I don't think Bill reads the room very well, which is an understatement. He's gotten by because he's had cachet as being an absolutely brilliant football mind, but people only see snippets of Bill at press conferences when he's peeing on the foreheads of reporters on the days that he decides to do that. There's plenty of days when he decides to be engaging and fun, and I was on the other side of those too. But you don't know what you're going to get. In the context of that, we needed him. He had the cachet. We needed to talk to him. The NFL needed to talk to him. CBS needed to talk to him. Everyone wanted to talk to Bill. Now Bill kind of has to go a little bit hat in hand to try and drum up the relevance for his program and what he's going to do and what his book reads and how he's going to make UNC the 33rd team, and even drum up intrigue for him to come back to the NFL. And in that context, he needs somebody to tell him this is the best way to do it. And showing up in a ratty-ass T-shirt with your 52-year-old, you know, junior girlfriend who doesn't understand when the cameras are rolling, this isn't Patriots.com. This is CB friggin' S. And if you pipe up while something's on the record, it might end up in the friggin' story. Bill knows that. Bill, when I would talk to Bill on the phone, he understood the elements of on the record and off the record. I would call him, and I'm babbling here, but this is interesting because Bill would always say, is this on the record? And the rules of that are the journalist has to say either, no, yes, it's on the record, no, it's off the record, and has to be verbal agreement. So then anything that he says after that, I can't use. And if he wanted to go back on the record to tell me something, he would say, this is on the record. Or I would say, can I use that on the record? And he would go back on. So he understands that everything is fair game. Apparently, his assistant doesn't. So he got what he kind of deserved in that instance by having people around him who can't tell him or give him good advice.
TMZ Sports had some great reporting on the interview, although they concluded with a bit of an understatement. They said there's a growing sense that this could become a problem for Bill at UNC. You were on a couple weeks ago at WEEI Afternoons. You said, and this is more about everyday employees, but you said they're not loving the Bill Belichick experience down at UNC. I mean, I guess you were in front of that for sure, but have you heard anything subsequent to that?
No, I haven't. This just seems to be a continued outgrowth of you know, what he's dealing with. And again, he just doesn't have the cachet that he did to make the decisions that he's making and have them go unchecked. and he doesn't have the people to run interference, like an entire football organization that's worth $6 billion that's devoted completely, that Bill helped build, completely to the goal of winning and making their players and coaches look good. He's kind of out there on his own right now. And he needs Berge Najarian, his brain and assistant, for however many years, close to 25, with him. Unfortunately, he's with Bill O'Brien and the Boston College Eagles, who don't have these kinds of slip-ups.
No, they do not. Although Bears is getting CC'd on Bill's emails, as we found out today, from Jordan's Instagram. He's Tommy Curran. It's Tommy Tuesday on Jones and Keefe. You can check out all his latest NBC Sports Boston. Patriots take a step forward with a productive draft. Tom, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. See ya.
Thanks, Tom.
Tommy Curran joining us here on WEEI. He'll be on WEEI Afternoons on Thursday. You can check him out on Quick Slants tonight, I'm sure, on NBC Sports Boston. I will get back to your phone call, 617-779-7937. How much better are the Patriots? Are the playoffs really in play? Plus, another pair of tickets to give away to the Red Sox and Rangers on a two-for-Tuesday right after Trending with Billy Laney.